sì.
Thank you.
And good morning, everyone. Actually, I'm the one who feels blessed. This is perhaps the fourth or so time I've come here. It's a lovely opportunity for me to come and share with you something from God's Word and something about Lamb. So we know acronyms aren't all that helpful at times, but that's what LAMB stands for, Lutheran Aid to Medicine in Bangladesh. And I want to talk about that and also see how that passage from Isaiah 58, which God talks about justice, can relate to what happens at LAMB and for what God is doing in Bangladesh. Just so you know, you may not be too familiar with Bangladesh. If I could find the little red light. Lamb is up. Sorry? Pointed at that.
No, he wants to point at the screen. It's the red button.
The red button. No red button. Lamb is in the northwest of Bangladesh, and it may sound a bit difficult to believe, but in a country of 160 million people, this is a relatively remoter area where transport and all that sort of thing is not easy, which is why LAMB was established there to serve poor people experiencing bad health. And you here at St. Stephen's have been supporting LAMB. It's one of your mission partners for a number of years. So thank you for that. Let's just look at some of the things that go on at LAMB. A population of about 4 million people are being served by community health program with a hospital, and it's really important, the community bit. That's actually, to my mind, more important than the hospital itself, because that's where the preventative medicine goes on. LAMB doesn't do rocket science medicine, but aims to provide appropriate and therefore affordable care to people. But it will treat somebody whether or not they can pay, so people come and they are treated, and then they sort out how the cost will be met. To enable them to provide services for people who can't afford it, they have a poor fund, and that will help about 5,000 patients a year and cost about £100,000 a year. And most of that money comes from the UK, and your giving here at St. Stephen's contributes to that. You make it possible for people to go to LAMB who would not be able to afford to get healthcare elsewhere. So thank you for that. It is the poor who remain LAMB's priority, along with originally it was very much aimed to help improve maternal and infant health. But it's some of the other things that go on that are becoming increasingly important. When LAMB was started, they wouldn't have seen that many disabled patients just because they were always kept at home. There's much more support for people with disability, especially children. And so the community is the place where LAMB is working to help change attitudes and to help people receive the best care that's available. There's a lot of training that goes on. LAMB trains nurses and also who then work at LAMB, but they also train midwives who work for a number of organisations across Bangladesh. So I hope that gives you an example of some of the things that, as far as I'm concerned, are evidence of God at work in Bangladesh. Statistics are all very well, but let me show you a couple of pictures, because on the left is a mother with her two-hour-old child. What's actually significant is two things. Is A, that she was the first mother to have a delivery at this new community clinic. Perhaps more importantly, the two women at the back had been trained by LAMB as midwives and were able to perform this delivery, not needing any help from any people, any doctors or anything like that, at the hospital. So that's it was a good news story on a couple of accounts. The lady on the right, not such a good news, came to hospital, burnt up the whole of the front of her body, having had an accident drying clothes over a fire. She didn't come to hospital for 3 or 4 days because she was worried about how much it would cost. But then she came, spent 6 weeks at LAMB, and was able to go home. And we'll come back to her a bit later on. Now, there's a lot of social action goes on at LAN. I mean, you might often wonder, so busy providing health services, doing this social action, are there opportunities to share good news about Jesus? Well, I was very struck by a report I read from a hospital in India that I'd actually been to a few years ago, just briefly. And in their report, they said that we need to remember that more people walk through the gates of hospitals than go to church in their country. Might not be a totally incorrect reflection on our own country either, in fact. So, if people are going into hospital, how do they still come within God's purposes, and how will Christian witness be there? And I think that this is where God's word directing us towards justice has something to teach us. Now, I'd always thought of justice about being when someone exercises judgment and overthink people or events that have gone on. So I found it really helpful to be reminded that it's very much our attitudes that God wants to guide and inspire. So it is our willingness to live uprightly, showing loving consideration, treating other people fairly, and of course living out values that are attributes of God himself. And we've had these verses from Isaiah, and we might also remember some from Amos and Micah. And we've had it in one of the prayers about acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly. So this passage of Isaiah is one thing that I came across a number of years ago at our church, and it really challenged a lot of us. So I've read a few verses. I'm sorry, I'm probably sort of a bit out of context for some theologians or so. Although, as I understand it, what had been happening here, the you that Isaiah is speaking to, were people who had not left Israel and gone into exile. They were people who'd stayed behind, and they were probably being very diligent in trying to maintain some forms of worship of God. But you know, there have been several chapters from Isaiah with both warnings and encouragement to the people, and he come to these verses because I'm just wondering to what extent the people have been forgetting many of the laws that are there in the Old Testament. So the prophet highlights the corruption in the people's religious observance, which was ignoring concern for justice for their own flesh and blood. Okay, that's what his main message, highlighting the corruption in their religious observance because they were ignoring concern for their own flesh and blood. And it matters to God that there are people in chains, there are people, you know, bearing heavy burdens of injustice, and he wants something to be done about it. So in summary, these were the key items that I picked from this passage. But I'm going to mention some a bit more specific a little bit later. But how do I live out a concern for justice in my life? Is a pretty uncomfortable question, because I don't think that day by day I come across too many people who are oppressed. But I think over time God's taught me to have concern for people whose lives are very different from mine. That's what I learned in Bangladesh, a lot about people who in many respects were just like me, but their life experience was very different and very challenging. So we may not know oppressed people, but they may well not be too far from where we live, even here in Ealing. And when we hear about injustice and ignore it, that's when God actually, it's one of those occasions when he will get quite angry and our worship won't be acceptable. So in the context for LAM in Bangladesh, what are the injustices? Well, when poor people are sick, what do they do? Do they get a fair treatment? Well, they don't have money, they can't get access to government services without paying something, even though they should be free. They will often stay at home, get more ill. They may then go to what they call a village doctor. He will have a supply of pills and he can give you a red one if you've got a cough and a blue one for an ache, but it's not exactly medicine. There is no safety net for these people. There is no NHS. So to me, that is something that resembles a yoke of oppression for them. They don't have access to things that we take very much for granted. But LAM is there to provide some appropriate health care, something that can be affordable for those who can pay, but also, as I've explained, they can be provided free. And what would justice look like for these poor people coming to LAM for treatment? So I was wondering, but does Isaiah say anything about life in Bangladesh? So just bearing in mind those headings, for those people working there, you can be reminded that part of the work that's being done will be, as it said in verse 6, setting the oppressed free. They are getting fair treatment. They're getting access to something that previously was not available. Verse 7 talks about sharing and caring and not turning for our own flesh and blood. Anyone who comes in will get treatment. But through this, the good news is that God's light will shine, that there will be healing. And especially as people at LAM pray and as we pray for LAM, so then God hears our prayers on behalf of others. And it's not easy, a life of service, doing that. And it's costly to work with those in need. But God reassures us in verse 10 with his promise that a light will shine. And I believe God's light is shining in Bangladesh. And the other verses that follow talk about how God, as we worship him and have a concern for justice, he will satisfy us as well. There will be a mutual benefit. It will be good for us to worship God with a real concern for justice. So I certainly have found that helpful for my thinking about what God is doing in Bangladesh and at LAM. Let's think about that a bit more specifically. South Asian culture is very much one in which the key drivers of so much of what goes on are to preserve honour in the family and to avoid shame. And of course, poverty itself is something that for many people is very shameful. And one of the reasons for why a lot of marriage is happy early is actually one way of trying to preserve honour and trying to protect young women by getting them into a relationship where, in theory, they should be better protected and shouldn't be at risk of sort of sexual predators. But it doesn't always work quite like that. So honour and shame are things that are very prevalent. And, you know, the real injustice is that there's supposed to be some sort of government health provision. There are a lot of government-built clinics all across Bangladesh. A good number of them are always empty. There's never anyone working there. Now, of course, if we think about Bangladesh in providing health care, it's very different from here. As I looked it up to see that in the UK, we spend over £3,000 a head of the population a year on healthcare. A country like Bangladesh, £25 a year. So, you know, there's not much resource made available. And it is the poor who are always left out and oppressed. Now, when LAM is doing its work, it doesn't probably actually talk about justice very much, not when they're dealing with patients. They're relying on doing the practical things to help the people that they're serving. But one of the things that LAM does hope to do is to have conversations so that, as it says here, people in contact with LAM experience the love of Christ and are offered to help to understand what they experienced. So as people are recovering in hospital, the chaplains are able to be there talking with them, talking with their families, offering to pray. Sometimes chaplains have been invited to go back to villages and talk to people at the village because someone has gone home restored to health. And so I always feel that this inspires our prayers, that God can make the connections, that if you're a busy doctor, you actually don't have time to do because there's not only one other patient, there are 10 other patients waiting for treatment. But there are anybody at LAM who's a follower of Jesus, which is not all the staff by any means, can be involved in this. Now, a lot of what LAM does, you say, like hospitals, it provide sticking plasters. Most people come a bit too late, really, to make it easy for the doctors. But in terms of pregnancies and maternal health, what can be done? In Bangladesh, women are not supposed to marry until they're 18, and the hospital statistics, which record the age of pregnant mothers, has a very high incidence of 18-year-old mothers, because actually, of course, they are 16, they are 14. It's very convenient to forget your date of birth. I'm starting to think about that too. So there's some work now going on to try and inform people in the hope that fewer people would need the sticking plaster in the future. So that this is a program, it's got a rather gruesome title in a way, it's about adolescent sexual reproductive health education in a place called Bodaganj. If you're clever, you can actually shorten that and come up with the word Ashabad, which in Bengali means blessing, so it's actually quite a nice name. But this is a three-year program being funded by the UK's Department for International Development to the tune of £250,000 to enable LAM to run small groups of teenagers. 15 or so teenagers will meet about 16 times to go through a prepared module on an aspect of their sexual health or preparation for marriage or beyond marriage, gender-based violence, divorce, dowry, and all those sort of things. So this is really to get the community talking about things. And the sort of groups that do it, so a group of young women led by an extremely articulate 15-year-old girl who knew her material very well, and it was quite an engaging conversation. I know just about enough Bangla to get the gist of some of the bits, especially when she was asking questions to which they all answer very enthusiastically. Bearing that picture in mind, I was actually just horrified. It was only 2 days later, I was back in Dhaka, and I read the editorial of the newspaper. And it talked about a 15-year-old girl who lived in a town not that far from Lam, in fact, in the northwest of Bangladesh. She was in school, she was doing quite well at school, she'd come home, her parents said, time for you to get married. She said, yeah, I don't want to get married yet. And they said, it's not your choice, this is about our family, this is us about our preserving your honour, you get married, you know, you should be better looked after. She was found later that day, hanging in her bedroom, having committed suicide. You know, so these issues do really bite in that country, that people are driven to, you know, pretty desperate ways of getting out of early marriage. So that's why this project, which has a year to run, is really important, because it actually is, it's not actually about delivering medical care, it's about hearts and minds. One of the things that's really important is that Bangladesh has been very successful at getting girls into education, but it has quite a high attrition rate once you get into the teens, because too many are dropping out because they are getting married. Much better, the hope in time that when people get married, they're better prepared, they're aware about their own bodies, and they understand the issues about their sexuality. And in time, we hope that there will be many fewer early pregnancies. What was very encouraging early on was to hear a community leader saying that this is, it's time we can talk about these things now. It wouldn't have been easy, you know, a number of years ago. So this is a very exciting development. Of course, you do not change hearts and minds in 3 years. So we are trying to see what on earth we can do to at least keep some of the benefits of this program running longer, because it is bringing a sense of justice, particularly for young women who are very often the pawn in the family's arrangements about marriage, and for whom, even if they do get married, they will experience violence, and it won't always be from the men as well. Mothers-in-law in Bangladesh can be quite violent too. So, you know, there is a real sense of justice, I think, behind this program, this example of what LAM is doing. So, as you come to an end, I'd like to say, you know, we're talking here about justice and about land, and what goes on at land is possible because of people like you here at St. Stephen's, with your prayers and your giving. And I was interested to see, with your other overseas mission partners, that you support Christian solidarity worldwide, for whom justice is very much a foundation of what they're doing. And for the Amos Trust as well, I think justice is quite a large part of what they do. Lamb, you might think, well, but Lamb's a hospital, does that sort of fit with justice? I hope I've shared some ideas which would help you see that. I think if you want to know a little bit more about Lamb, Stu has put some leaflets outside. Thank you too for praying, just some thoughts for prayer. You know, that this issue of justice, I think, is a very big challenge in South Asia, for God's justice to be made known. Day by day, God's Spirit is working through the doctors, but often providing healing in spite of the fall, without the doctors, and people are experiencing the light of Christ, and hopefully being helped to understand that. So as I conclude, can I just bring you back to... This is the same lady that I showed you a picture of earlier. When she left hospital 6 years ago, she went home to a five-month-old baby, whom she was no longer able to feed. We really wondered what would happen for her. Fortunately, her family were very supportive. Her husband was quite tender to her in hospital, which was really lovely to see. I never forgot this woman, because I felt in that visit to spend time with her as a chaplain was something that I should do. So got to know her quite well, and we'd read a psalm to her and pray with her. But I thought, family life's going to be really difficult now on. You know, what will her... Well, how will her husband respond to a heavily scarred body? You know, she's still quite young, she's only got one child, what would ever happen? 3 weeks ago, I had an email from one of the chaplains to say, next week, Nazrin is coming to hospital to have another baby. And, you know, that was just way beyond any expectation that we might have had when she left hospital 6 years ago with really bad burns. So to me, God has been so generous to her, both saving her initially with her bad burns, but also restoring to her the joy of family life. So for me, that's a wonderful example of how God brings a sense of justice, of fairness, of caring for people, which is way beyond my expectation, but encourages me so much for our prayers. So I hope that some of that helps you see something of how what goes on at Lamb isn't actually just sticking plasters, but is a number of things which are bringing a sense of God's purposes and God's justice to people. You as a church are concerned for justice, and you do your own bit here in Ealing with the food bank at the night shelter that you're helping. But you're also doing that in Bangladesh. So thank you so much. Today, as we remember, you know, that part of our worship, God wants us to have this desire for justice. My prayer is that the Lord will be honoured, and also that our joy will be increased, as he promises.